Hello, everyone. Welcome back to the Challenge Spies, Lies, and Allies Wrap Up Podcast for episode 10. I am Brian Cohn. No Allie this week, but I figured since we are doing the equivalent of a Raw and SmackDown draft, no better to talk about it all than the great Mari Fourth. Mari, how are you?
I'm doing good, Brian. And thank you. A little birdie told me that are you a slight wrestling fan?
I've gone through peaks and valleys. Growing up as a kid, big wrestling fan, fell off for a little bit, got back into it, and now I'm in the falling off stage. So I need something to kind of bring me back to it. But I monitor from a distance. I follow some Twitter accounts. I got you followed. I got some WWE accounts followed. I try to keep up with the high level stuff that's going on.
So I'm a little upset that I never knew this and that you never spoke up, because you know we would have had you. We would have been had you on the Wrestling Rehab Up if I hadn't known this. Like, it would have been a wrap. We would have had you on.
I know. I'll get there. I need to get. I'll find a spot.
I'll hold you to it. And we'll talk off mic. And
but how are you?
So all here, my challenge fans,
another I'll get great you episode.
On. Yes. Yes. Another good Perfect. Episode.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I saw another great episode this week. What are your thoughts? Here we are. Big shift in the season. So up until this point, how are you feeling about Spies, Lies, and Allies?
So the season is okay. It's like pretty good or whatnot, but like I am kind of starting to get a little bit like disillusioned. I don't know if that's the right word with the challenge, because I tune into Spies, Lies, Allies because of all of the fresh meat, like the rookie blood and all of that. And I didn't watch most of these shows. I mean, I've never seen Survivor Romania or anything like that, but I was so excited for like the fresh infusion of new people. And then for basically the first 8 episodes is just systematically getting rid of all of them. It's been very like, you know what I'm saying? Like, I like a lot of the challenge vets and stuff like that, but I'm kind of sick and tired of seeing like the same people making it far and winning. Like, and then like when new bloods come in, you know, if they don't have a good run on their original season, then they don't come back, or they just don't make as much headway. You know, they have to get to their third or fourth season before they can really get in with people. It's kind of like, you know what I'm saying? Like that tight knit closeness or brotherhood of some of the challenge things is starting to kind of grate on my nerves, because I want to see more people make it far, like way different people make it far.
Yeah, that was definitely to me the big gripe about the early part in the season, where the, you know, all these rookies coming on there led to the slaughter. And even now, this week we lose another rookie, but it does feel like at least the game has switched up a good amount where it's not at least the same vets now that are kind of driving the bus, which makes things kind of fun. You got Devin leading the charge here. So it is the vets, but again, at least it's a little bit different with a new group of vets, and maybe we might actually get a new winner potentially down the road. Hopefully we'll see. But now at least the rookies that are in here, they're kind of the best of the best of the rookies that we have left. And they've each kind of made a good name for themselves up until this point.
See, I kind of agree, but I kind of don't, because like I was looking at Randy's draft and just to remind me, like it feels like it's been like 2 months, but like looking at all the people we had Kels, you know, Corey was doing a great job. Michelle from Survivor, like we had all these Michaela going out first, really just, you know, that really like hurt my heart and started the season on a downward trend. So like we had all of these really cool people that would have been really interesting to watch, but they kept getting thrown in and kept getting thrown in until they left. Even Amber, I mean, I agreed with Allie when she was talking about how Amber was starting to get a little bit annoying there at the end and stuff like that. But like, I just really want to see some fresh new blood. And I thought we were just about to get it, Brian. I was so excited because last week, you guys talked about how last week was one of the best episodes of the season, or better episodes of the season, because we were finally getting down to this vet alliance and we were finally probably going to see some, you know, we finally saw some strategizing. And then at the end of last week, you know, he just tells Corey and them to go up. And I mean, I don't know if we want to get into it, but now we have another twist here that honestly just is gonna, to me, is gonna just lend more to more rookies being targeted. What do you?
Yeah, so we might as well talk about, because that's kind of the big highlight from this week, right? Because that was the, like you said, that was the teaser from last week. Amazingly, I don't think we, when Allie and I discussed it, I think we thought, what a lot of people thought, it was going to be all individual. We thought there was a decent chance it was just going to be locked in your pairs. I don't think we discussed them totally starting fresh and just breaking out into three new teams. No, I don't think that ever came up. So you're a little concerned that all this is going to do is lead to more rookies at the slaughter, and it's just going to be more of the same again.
Yeah, I honestly do. I honestly do. So like, so now it's, there are three teams. So, you know, the one team who wins, they become the agency. They then just vote in one person. And so what we saw with that mechanism is, of course, it's the first time, so they always play it safe. We've seen this so many times in the past. So they played it safe and they threw in Priscilla. And then, I guess the other twist is we got Priscilla then getting to choose her own, competitor.
Yep.
But now that they're individuals, but also kind of in a team game, there's no vets that, you know, the rookies that were shackled to vets that had power, even they're not safe anymore. You know what I'm saying? Like, Logan and Nani, Emmanuel and Casey, like they're at the mercy of winning, because something tells me that if they don't win and it's a guy's day, you know, they're going to get thrown in, you know? So I just feel like now that the rookies are unencumbered and, you know, if they go down, they go down by themselves, how do we not just get people or the agency just continuously voting in rookies and just having the rookies pick who they want to go against? And
I think that's totally fair. Obviously that played out this week. I think it'll be interesting to play how it plays out going forward. I think the rookies that are left, I think enough of them have made relationships that could protect them, right? Because you got Emmy, who's now seemingly like CT's watching over her. Emmanuel has some people watching over him. Ed seemingly has some people watching over him. So I think with the rookies left, the fact that they've been here this long and they've established some relationships, I do think there are enough that they could have some people looking out for them, especially, I mean, for someone like Ed or Emmy that have shown themselves as fierce competitors. If you're a vet, there is level of concern of like, all right, are we going to really vote one of them in? I don't want to go up against them. I'd rather maybe go up against maybe even a weaker veteran at that point. So I think there could be some level of worry amongst the vets that they don't want to go against some of the strong rookies. And the fact that if it was the case where the agency could vote someone in and then all the other teams could vote someone in, I would be right there with you. I think this would be a disaster. It'd be just another way to get all the other rookies out, and that's how it would go. But giving the person voted in that extra power, I think will add an extra level of fear and strategy into it, that it's not just going to be rookie. There will be some extra layer there.
Yeah, and I agree. My only other thought process then is then, okay, so now you're throwing somebody in, possibly a rookie. Now, are they going to be afraid to touch the CTs of the world? You know what I'm saying? Like, how does CT not get a free walk from here on now that it's basically an individual game?
Yeah, you know? I mean, yeah, it depends on the person voted in. Here you got Priscilla. She's not afraid to take a shot. She goes after her Ashley, one of the top women. I think if you get one of the guys, like I could see them wanting to be like, you know what, I'm going to take the big shot, go out swinging and take out CT. So I think it'll depend on who is in it. I think there's some people who would want to try to take the easy route and some people that'll want to take the big swinging route. And I think that's all going to be factored in. I think you kind of saw that a little bit with how the deliberation went down. People were sussing out who might be taking big swings, who wants to play it safe. So I think all that will play a factor, and that's good. It adds a little bit of extra layer to it.
Look at you being the positive, the positivity here. I think
I'm trying to be.
I know, and I agree. I just, the challenge kills me. The challenge is going to challenge. Like, the challenge is going to change the rules halfway through the season, and I'm always going to feel like it is a setup to keep production faves in. You know what I'm saying? Like,
because this is I can't recall them doing any. Like, they've had obviously seasons like Free Agents where they mix things up each week, but just to have a set rule, like, all right, it's a pair season, and then all of a sudden it's like it's like a whole new show. This is like cutthroat all over again. You got three teams, and it's just like I would love to know if this was in the plans all along to get down to this exact amount of people and do this, or they were just like, you know what, let's just do it now. I don't know. I love to get a peek behind the curtain in the challenge production, because that is just, it is just an unbelievable switch to go from a paired game to three teams, not even just two, like three teams.
And then I don't even trust it. Like, I don't even think these teams are going to be like the final. You know what I'm saying? Like, I don't think we're running three teams in the final. So what is the ultimate end goal format going to be? And again, you guys have said it. I think I've said it the last time I was on here, but it's just like, I don't like them not knowing the twist ahead of time because then they can't strategize for it. So it's just kind of frustrating. And I am enjoying the season. I'm just such a like, oh my God, they're doing this again. And then like, I was team Nani this whole episode. I'm like, get Ashley out of here. Get CT out of here. You know, team Devin, team Josh. Like you said, at the very least, if we're going to have a vet win again, I'd much rather see different vets in the finale, than what we've normally been getting. And I'm just, I don't know. I just feel like some of my favorite people left early.
You know, there were a lot of favorite rookies that people were very excited to see that unfortunately were sent home early, which also played a big part in, I think, a lot of people dropping out from the show. And that's why I sent out the tweet. Like, if you thought this season was bad and you pulled the plug, I do think now's a good time to get back in because it's kind of a fresh start. You can kind of think of like the first half of this season as its own little separate season. And you got like a whole new season kicking off right now. This was like the premiere, basically. So I think this is a good time to kind of jump back in because I do think it'll be a fun ride down the stretch.
I definitely agree with that. It really does feel like a just totally different show. Yeah. And I'm just so, I'm very interested. I think next week, more than likely, unless the Ruby team wins, we're getting a Corey vote in or, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, unless, that Ruby team. Oh man.
I know.
It's one of the worst teams I've ever seen. It's unbelievable.
Oh my God. I can't wait to talk. Like, how did they even put that team together? I know.
So let's before we can dive even more into that, let's just jump back to quickly to the beginning where they kind of set the stage. They were really setting the stage for what I thought was three possible things. They had the Bettina and Priscilla conversation, each of them opening up about you know what they're playing for. Bettina opened up about, you know, growing up in a small town in Sweden. She wanted to have so much more for herself in life. And this is her, she saw this as her big opportunity to get that. Priscilla really wanted to do things for her mom. She was, I think she said one of seven and the only one remaining of the seven, which is so sad.
Exactly. And then she's taking care of all of those seven's kids. Like, that was such a sad story. And I was just like, as soon as we got it, that on top of like the preview, like showing going all the way back, I was like, oh God.
It felt like, or like both of them, Priscilla and Bettina, felt like it was almost their time to go of the last couple weeks. And the fact that they both survived, here they are, and they're really getting even more of the groundwork of like giving them that final character establishment. This really felt like, all right, one of these is going to go. Like, it felt like they were on borrowed time for a while. They each made good names for themselves, likely to come back, but they were really setting it. The stage pretty hard for one of them to go home this week.
Yes, I really hope to see both of them back. I am a little confused as to why Bettina is so untouchable. Like,
does
she have like a bubble around her or something? Like, it's kind of amazing to me that she hasn't been thrown in at all. Yeah. But
and then, unfortunately, America's favorite couple, Logan and Big T, went by the wayside this week. Big T, she went one way. She thought she found her soulmate. Logan went the complete opposite way. I wanted the friend zone her. And then we didn't see the conversation. That was very bizarre, right? We have Big T like in a confessional being like, oh, this is my person. And Logan being like, all right, I have to figure out how I'm going to friend zone her. And then they yada, yada, yada'd. And it was over. How bizarre was that we didn't get to see that conversation?
Yeah, the confessional, they really set Big T up. Big T up there.
Poor Big T.
Yeah, I felt so, so bad. But like, why did they show Big T telling him the story of Oedipus but couldn't give us the conversation of them being like friends? I don't know, it was all over the place.
It was very bizarre, and it sounded like this like played a role in like the voting or anything. I don't know, just they just really did Big T dirty, really, like, you know.
Yeah, it was out of nowhere.
Yeah, Professor Love, I just done. At least she took it okay, she wasn't too devastated. So I think Big T will find better things.
Yeah. And can I just say right here, like, I'm so glad that Big T, she's again one of the few rookies that was able to, you know, survive being kicked off second in her original show, coming back and making a name for herself. You guys have definitely pointed out so much on her last few seasons, but I really like Big T. And again, I'm still upset that she still seems like an outsider, though, still. You know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah.
She's one of several names that they throw out to possibly go out. So it sucks that she still hasn't even managed to get in the inner sanctum.
Mm-hmm.
But Big T is just like, oh my God, I love her. I love her so much.
Yeah, but it's amazing. She, like you said, she's been on the outside looking in this whole season. There was like talks of her potentially being voted in as early as week one or two. And here we are, she still hasn't been voted in, which I think just again shows like how likable she is. I think people can come into a season wanting to target her, and then you hang around with her enough and it's like, eh, we love Big T, we're not gonna vote her in. And here she's again, she's probably got a good chance to, you know, go all the way near a final and potentially make a final.
Right. And that's another thing. I'm like, why would you ever want to get rid of Big T? Like, I just don't understand, you know, other than just that whole groupthink loyalty type of thing, because I that's why I love Devin's approach this season. Like, get out the people that you can't beat. Like, that should be like the number one challenge rule, especially in a season that's kind of straightforward as this is. Like, you know, no more relics, no more having to go in to earn your spot, you know, like it's straight up just get people out. And I love what you guys said last week about like they need to be throwing CT in every chance they get, because I agree, like, you're not going to get too many chances at some of these big targets, you know. So why are the further along it goes, the harder it's going to be to get them out. And now we see in this episode, it's going to be even harder now that we're basically at an individual game.
Yep, individual game, and CT now can only be eliminated every other week. And if he just happens to win the weeks where he's could be eliminated, takes away those weeks. And that's why when you have those chances to take him out, you have to take a shot, and they just haven't done it. And here we are. And he's in a good spot. I know the CT team didn't win this week, but they're in a pretty good shot. I would not be surprised to see them win either next week or the week after. They got a good team over there, so he's not in a bad spot.
Exactly.
The other person I thought was in a rough situation based on how they were setting up was Amanda. We got her FaceTiming with her son. Got a nice scene about her, how much she sacrificed. Obviously, they touched about her being a nurse in the front lines during the pandemic and how she had a kid. It was, you know, a real struggle for her. But the fact that they really highlighted it, I was very worried, especially since she hasn't really had a lot of screen time this whole season, that we were getting this big pop early. I was very worried about Amanda's fate in the game after this early scene.
Same. It was really interesting. They kind of used, it seemed like they used Amanda's story for Ashley's plot line for this whole episode. Like, it made no sense to me, but let me say, I have loved Amanda. Maybe I didn't see the seasons of her, like where they coined her the devil, but I always liked Amanda. I really thought that she got a bad rap when she had came back for the season that her and Zach were paired up.
She's like, looking better and better about hating Zach so much. That's aged very well over time.
Yes, yes, exactly. And so I've always been a fan. And so, like, seeing everything that she's went through with her son and being a nurse during the pandemic, which again, it's very close to my heart on several fronts, as being, you know, having a toddler myself and also being on the front line when the pandemic started to the point where I actually had to step off and take a different job because of the safety of my child. Like, I have so much respect for her that, like, I really, if nothing else, this episode really made me want to see her go far. And again, to get a different rotation of the vets there in the final, like, I'm so rooting behind her, like, so hard now that I really appreciated this time. And I just know how she's feeling, because to be away from your child, just especially at such a young age, I know it had to have been so hard. So I commend her, and I really hope she walks away with something to show for it.
No, definitely. And I think Zach Sinclair was on the same page as you. He wrote, it seemed a little random that the editors made Ashley's potential elimination all about Amanda's story. Do you think we're being set up for a potential self-sacrifice down the line by Ashley?
Oh, that's nice, Zach. Yeah, that could be it, because it really was like a plot line through the whole entire episode. I think if I counted how many times Ashley referenced that Amanda, it was at least legit 7. Yeah. Like throughout that she referenced her during the challenge. She referenced her during deliberation. She referenced her while she was in the elimination. Like it was very interesting how they built that up.
Yeah. I mean, it's just in this season, we've seen a lot of different alliances pop up, but they all seem pretty flimsy. But Ashley and Amanda, they are as ride or die as you're going to get. They are true to the end. Like, we'll absolutely have each other's back. We'll never say each other's names. And it's to have that in this type of game is so rare. So to see them so willing to work together and stay together it's fun to see. And I agree about it, Amanda. I think this is by far her most likable season. I think people are going to come away from her. Whoever really wasn't an Amanda fan, I think is coming away as a major Amanda fan. I think, after being off for a few years, I think all of a sudden Amanda, if she wants it, I think she could be coming back now for a few seasons in a row if she wants it. I think she's really made that level of impression.
Yeah, and I never saw the Lavender Lady season. I just always saw like the fallout from it and how people like hated how they ran that season that they were on. I don't even remember which one was that. Do you remember that, Brian?
Oh man, I just remember Shane and Sylvia, like that crew. Shane, I think that might have been like the trilogy part of it. It might have been around that time.
I came back in. I told you guys with a Dirty 30. So I know it was like sometime before then. But yeah, like even before then.
Amanda's always been like kind of a troublemaker. So I've always understood why people would like maybe not like her. Because she always, she could pop off. But it's like, I think now it's like in a fun way and is very loyal to her crew. So Amanda, she's really coming to her own here. And she's doing great. I mean, she's doing well in all the challenges. She's got a good shot here. So we enter the daily for this week. Very uncertain about what was going to happen. Everyone shows up. TJ still doesn't really explain what's going on. Everyone completely assumes, all right, it's all individual. They all get the confessionals. I don't have to rely on my partner anymore. I do it on my own. Everyone's all happy. So obviously that meant like the fact that he didn't say it was individual and they had all the confessionals that it wasn't going to be individual. Like, man, something was up. Did you at all think until they started doing it that it was that this is where we were going to go with the teams?
Oh, I didn't think it was teams, but I was yelling at my screen like, oh, but you're going to be in triples, because like it was so obvious the way they kind of cut it. It was like, he was like, you are now individuals. And it was like, it felt like it was hanging. And then like they had all the confessionals like, ooh, yeah, oh my God, I'm so glad. And I was like, Nope, they're going to put them in trios or something.
Yeah. And then like, we get a challenge, which, like I said, because this could be a premiere. This is almost like what they did in the premiere, sort of. They had to, race out to collect the code. And based off how you finish was based off your team. That's kind of how they did the premiere, was based off how you finish was almost like your partner situation. So this is what the challenge was called, Diamond Dash. You race out, collect the sledgehammer. And you had to do three different options to get the code. One of them, so you could use binoculars to look for your code. You can, fit certain boxes and like boxes into like holes to climb up to do it. And then by far the worst one was the scratching. I don't know why anyone would do that. Did they say only a certain number of people could do each one? Because I don't know why anyone wouldn't. I feel like either the binoculars or the climbing of the box was by far the easiest. I don't know why anyone would do the scratching.
Oh my gosh, Brian. Like when they would go to the people scratching, I had to put it on mute.
Yeah,
like
it's the worst sound.
It just made my skin crawl. And it didn't even look like they showed us what it looks like when they finished that. Like, I don't even remember seeing like what it looked like when they finished the scratching. I was like, please get this away. I think I would have probably done the binoculars. So that sounds the easiest to me, but it seems like people did struggle with it. And it looks like everybody who picked like the box or suitcase challenge or whatever you want to call it, they all came in like the first few places.
Yeah, so apparently
that was the easiest one. The scratches were all last.
And I guess you probably couldn't change once you started doing one. I feel like you're kind of locked into your choice. But it was interesting. So this is really the big part of this episode, right? Where based off everyone finishes and all the strategy that goes along with it. About where you pick. So Nelson finishes first. And really for him, I guess what he could have done, which we did see other people do, is wait to make your decision. He just jumps right in, picks whatever color he wants, and it goes from there. And then we start to see people file in and they really start to get a sense of, okay, what is happening? And I think the two biggest decisions that people had to make were, if you had allies, do you stay together or mm-hmm. do you separate? And we saw basically two different strategies. So Nelson and Corey wanting to separate, and we saw like Tori and Devin and all of them stick together on one team. What do you think was the move?
Yeah, so originally when Corey and Nelson said it, I was like, yeah, that makes sense to me. And then as Josh was coming in, then Devin, you know, added to it, and then Casey and Amanda, I was like, their whole alliance was on the Emerald team. I was like, that can't be smart. Like, that's what right. I thought. I was immediately thinking that can't be smart, because what if you have to vote somebody out from your team? Like, what if, like, what it would have been kind of been cool, like, if the agency won, they're safe, and then each team has to vote for somebody within right. their own team or something like mm-hmm. that, you know? That's yeah. what I thought could happen. So because I thought that's what could happen, I was like, why would you want your whole alliance on one team? But honestly, I guess it doesn't matter if you're just beasting the challenges.
Yeah.
And Emerald team looks very, very stacked. And so I think it's going to be hard to beat them, to be quite honest, at this point.
It is. And I agree. I thought Nelson and Corey, I think this was Nelson who came up with the idea. So shout out to him for his probably first strategic good idea of his life to separate him and Corey. I thought that was the right move. And I guess maybe it didn't really work based off the format, but unless you knew it going in, which this is one of the situations where I don't necessarily mind them not knowing. So it kind of keeps them in the dark of playing these guessing games about how you would go about choosing your teams and stuff like that. It mm-hmm. is interesting though that getting there first really didn't give you any advantage, and then getting you last, you were kind right. of forced into a team. So really the best spot to be was kind of where like CT and Casey were. They were like mm-hmm. kind of middle of the pack, and then they could suss out
9 and 11.
Yeah, like you could suss mm-hmm. out, okay, who do you want like your couple anchors to be on your team, and then you can recruit the later people to come on your team. So that really was like the best spot to be, and it seemed like
I noticed that too. I was like, how is this a challenge where coming in first is actually a detriment to your game? Like, mm-hmm. how annoying is that? And then not only that, but then it was kind of like, I didn't catch this until I did the rewatch, Brian, mm-hmm. but Kyle being like, yeah, I want to be on Corey's team because I want to keep an eye on him. I did not realize that at that point he had no choice. I didn't realize.
I don't think I picked up on that either. That's classic Kyle though.
Like I wrote everybody's like I wrote the numbers with everybody finishing and everything.
Mm-hmm.
All of the dudes for the Sapphire and the Emerald team was already picked.
Oh my god!
By the time Kyle came, so he literally him and Logan had no choice but to be on Team Ruby. But that was the thing that another thing we didn't know because of mm-hmm. course they didn't tell us that it was supposed to be three guys and three girls. Once right. you hit the three guys, three girls, you're at capacity. And mm-hmm. that's why me and my husband were watching and we were like, what? Cause at first, you know, all the Sapphire and Emerald team were just filling up with men. And we're just like, you can't possibly just have men on right. your team. And, but I caught when CT came again. Remember, he was only picking between Sapphire and Ruby, mm-hmm. which had Nelson and Ed, or Corey, Priscilla, and Emmy. And the reason why he was picking between those two teams is because Emerald already had Josh, Emmanuel, and Devin. So he couldn't pick them to begin with. So it was a lot of that they didn't really show us when the decisions came to be made. And that I definitely had to pick that up at the end. And again, Amanda, Bettina, they were forced to be on the Sapphire team because they came in last. And those yep. were the two spots open for the girls.
Yeah.
So, yeah, definitely point. The middle.
Yeah, and it kind of, you know, good thing, good on the challenge to do that, because I could have seen in another world the challenge could screw that up, and then you would have, you know, one team with like five guys and one girl, and yeah. another team with like five girls, and it would be a disaster, and they would have to swap the teams every week. So at least good on them for coming prepared. And obviously, if you're going to do it, having like, you know, this is the perfect number to do it, three teams is a lot of fun for the challenge. I think it adds an extra layer than just the two teams, perfect number, obviously, with 18 people. So mm-hmm. they really, I mean, if this was planned all along, kudos to them, because this is the perfect spot to implement this. And I think it came away pretty well. It was very interesting to see who picked with who wanted to go with who. And I thought it was very fun to see it play out this way rather than them being some sort of random thing or even just people drafting each other. The fact that it was like kind of a draft, but not really a draft. And you have people mm-hmm. making like impulsive decisions and other people really thinking about it. I love CT's reasoning that like, you know, he wanted to have like two workhorses he can kind of get behind. I thought that was very smart. Even like the way Priscilla was a little bit worried about her being with two, like another rookie on her team. So you got to see people who are thinking about this smartly really mm-hmm. have their brains percolating.
Yeah, and I'm definitely kind of upset that CT again played Big T to the left.
I know.
And told her to get on the Ruby team, and I'm just like, so you prefer her over Bettina over her, even though you just talked about when Bettina and Corey went down, how you didn't want Bettina to pick you on your team. Like, I don't like Big T being played like that. But,
you know, we saw Amber come into this season after seeing the confessional super pissed at the Big Brother Alliance. I'm waiting for Big T to come into, like, she saw everything that CT said about her last time around, that he was like just basically like pumping the season and was just being nice and then was super happy to get away from her. And now again, he's like, all right, I don't want to be with you. Please don't go near me. I wonder if now she comes into the next season, be like, okay, like fool me once, shame on me. Fool me once, shame on you. Fool me twice, shame on me. Like, it's enough. Like, yeah. Big T has to be like enough. We're trying to work with CT here and come out with a vengeance for him.
Yeah, exactly. Like she said in her confessional, like, oh yes, I listened to CT because I truly believe he wants the best for me. Or he doesn't want me on his team. I'm like,
yeah, it's that one. It's the latter.
Yes, like you had to have seen the last season, like, yeah. Right?
And then a very bizarre scene with Logan, seemingly mm-hmm. like really hurting his leg or his knee, and it's unclear on what. Like he was just running, and then we can make a confession with him being like, I felt like a pop or something. And obviously that's going to come into play next week with being a guy's day. So that's going to be. Very interesting to see if that completely knocks Logan out of the game. It seems like he's set up easily to go into elimination. So hopefully that's not how Logan leaves, because I feel like he had a lot more to give.
Yeah, exactly. Like it was very random in a sense. Like he was like, oh, I'm running and I feel something, but we don't see medical. The challenge has infamously, notoriously horrible medical people. Not so we didn't really get a follow-up, but I think that's a great observation, Brian, that might be set up for next week, because mm-hmm. again, Logan is out here, he's a rookie that's unprotected, and he does seem like one of the strong rookies. We don't know, he's never been into an elimination, so I can definitely see he can be targeted.
So we got the three teams. They did a good job, you know, breaking it down once it finished up. So the Sapphire team. Well, first, what do you make of the names? You got Sapphire, Ruby, and Emerald. Like wild choices for colors. We kind of saw this coming with like how they broke down the All Stars colors last season, and we can get to the cast. But like, I don't know why they can't just do like red, green, and yellow. I guess that's not fancy enough. So what do you make of the color naming for these teams?
Was it All Stars like tan, gold, and brown?
It was super bizarre too. I don't I don't know. Maybe they're a copyright on like the normal colors. They can't do them anymore. I don't know what's going on.
My only thought process was because it went with the theme somehow. You know, they kept having to get these black gems mm-hmm. out of these safes. So, you know, and then the name of the episode was Precious Stones.
Yeah.
So, you know, I think it was more reference to the gemstones themselves than to the colors. So I guess it's cute. It's cute. I I'm an emerald. I was born in May. Oh, so, you know. I love that.
For the teams, we got Sapphire. The Sapphire team is CT, Nelson, Ed, Ashley, Amanda, and Bettina. Mm-hmm. The Ruby team is Corey, Logan, Kyle, Big T, Priscilla, and Emmy. And then mm-hmm. the Emerald team, Josh, Devin, Emmanuel, Tori, Casey, and Nani. Obviously, Emerald goes on to win this week, and they're talked about like, you know, they're the greatest team ever. But I think Sapphire, I don't know. I think, you know, they just happened to win this week, Emerald. I think Sapphire, like, they're a very strong team. I think clearly Ruby is the worst team, and I don't see them winning a single one of these. But I think Sapphire, like, they're a very strong team, and I expect them to be very close neck and neck with Emerald on a week-to-week basis going forward.
I agree. It's like two powerhouse teams going at it, because like you have the puzzle ability of CT and Ashley, and then you have the just straight up brawn of Nelson, Ed, and Amanda, mm-hmm. and then Bettina is there. So like they're really good for like the Sapphire team. Emerald, they are stacked with some beasts themselves, but like Devin will really have to carry them when it comes to like logic and puzzles like he did here. Mm-hmm. Kudos to him, you know, because Casey is so bad at puzzles. That's why every time she's like, oh, please don't pick me. Please don't pick me. I'm like, Casey, nobody should pick you because yeah. you are just, if somebody is already strong, they don't need you because mm-hmm. you are already strong. You are not good at puzzles. So like, I think Emerald team can very much beast it out as well. So I think it's going to be back and forth. I could definitely see it going back and forth between the two of them. And Ruby, like, Jesus, there.
Yeah, it's rough. It's not great. I mean, yeah, especially already losing one of their strongest women with Priscilla. Yep. It's not going to be going well. You got Logan with a busted knee. Kyle is looking at the fact at any moment. It's not great. Ruby's mm-hmm. not going to be around much longer.
Amy doesn't want to be there.
Yeah, it's not looking good, unfortunately, for them. But for the other two teams, it'll be a good battle. And Emerald pulled out the win in the second part of the challenge, where it was a very Survivor-esque challenge. Instead of using mm-hmm. water to fill up a bucket, it was breaking up mm-hmm. concrete to, you know, lift the seesaw type thing and get the diamond free. Devin cracked. I don't really know what Devin did. So what was his move? He just got the concrete in faster. That was like his trick, right? Just get in quicker.
So what he did is he used the bigger pieces of the concrete to weigh the basket down so that once it was weighted down, they can then all put the smaller pieces in, because they couldn't have just left the big pieces on top and went and get the diamond. And it looks like the rules was you had to put enough of the small pieces inside that grated top in order for it to stay down for you to grab it. But it was a very genius plan because, you know, we saw Sapphire working really well together. They're doing like an assembly line type of thing where Ashley was the one putting the small pieces in the top, but it was just her.
Right.
So with Devin and the Emerald team, they all weighted that down and then they all just started throwing in the small pieces as much as they could to get it to stay down. And so it just made so much more sense. And it seemed like they did it in really no time. Challenge went so quickly.
Yeah. It seemed like the second Devin came up with that plan and got it down, boom, 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 they were done. So shout out to Devin. That was very smart. He he cracked it. Good for him.
Yeah, exactly. So
Emerald pulls out the win. And we go straight to the club night, you know, classic club night in the house. Where we start to see the senses of who people might be going after. Nelson is worried they're going after Amanda, that they want to try to weaken the Sapphire team, which I thought might be the plan too. Poor Corey, he tries to form a team, but he's like, you know, he wants to be the leader of a team, but he really needs to be like the second guy. Corey is not meant to be like the leader of this squad. It's going downhill fast. They can't communicate. They can't even communicate in the team meeting. As you find out, they can't even communicate in colors to wear. So it's not looking good. Not looking good for Team Ruby, even at the club. They can't seem to get their act together.
Yeah. You make an interesting point about Corey not being able to be the main guy. And I agree. I'm thinking about all of his challenges, and like, he's technically the head of Team Young Buck, and they mm-hmm. have really notoriously not done too well. He got second last season because he let Cam tell him what to do. Rightfully so. I would have too. Queen.
I mean, they won the elimination because Bettina was the one who figured it out. Once she figured it out, then Corey was able to use his strength to kind of pull through, but she was the one who figured it out, not Corey. So,
yeah, exactly.
He's not the brains. He can't be the brains of the operation, unfortunately. But holding him back.
He cannot. You're correct. So, yeah, and I felt bad, but I still liked his, like, enthusiasm. He wasn't giving up. He was still trying, you know, because he's right. There's nothing you can he thought that there's nothing you can do about it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So you might as well make the best of the situation. So you know, he's trying. And mostly because he knows his butt is the one that's on the line.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, he knows he was close to going home. He knows he's gonna probably have to win a couple more of them to get to the end. So he's trying to do everything he can to kind of stave off his elimination. Same with Priscilla. Priscilla has a conversation with Tori. Tori appreciates Priscilla's gameplay, appreciates her move, but I mean, like we kind of talked about, Priscilla has a big target painted on her for the one who broke up the veteran alliance. And Tori smartly points out when they do it that, you know, like you said, they don't know the rules yet. We don't know how it's all going to play out. So Priscilla is still like the easy vote to do. And that's kind of where they're leaning, as what Tori basically indicates. And Priscilla kind of feels the heat coming on her.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I mean, she took it well. I mean, she, you know, she kept saying, you know, this is the price of what I get for making that big move and all of that. And I just don't like this rhetoric just because it dissuades anybody from making big moves. And that's so annoying. You know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah.
It's so annoying, but it's the truth. The only reason she's down there is because she made that move, or she doesn't have as many friends as I guess some of the other rookie girls. So it really is unfortunate because she's been so good this season in the confessionals and talking about her strategy. And I really like what you guys said last week, what Allie said about like, how dare they really pin what she did, her move on Corey. Like she came up with that. Why would you? That really, like, really pissed me off with Devin, like saying that she didn't come up with it, that it was clearly Corey was manipulating her. Like, what? That was so annoying.
It was. And I think for Priscilla, not only are the fans coming out of this really appreciating her, I think a lot of the cast is also really liking her. I think, you know, in the moment, probably the vets are pissed at her for doing this, but now outside the season, watching it back, I think, assuming she's back for next season and going forward, I think a lot of the vets are going to want to work with her. You know, she showed a lot of feistiness, a lot of bravery, was a good competitor. I think people will take to Priscilla, and I think she'll have a much easier time staying out of elimination and forming bonds going forward. She had to take it like this. This is why it's so hard to win this type of game as a rookie, because you have to make some sort of flashy big move to make a name for yourself to come back. But by doing that, that paints a target on yourself to hopefully for the next season you can win. And I think that's kind of where Priscilla is set up, where she had to do this to make a name for herself amongst the cast, amongst the show, amongst the fans. And now going forward, she could hopefully be in a much better landing spot.
Yep, I agree.
And then we had her 3-point plan to try to stay out of elimination. She had her speech ready to go, 3-point plan. The first, and I actually thought a lot of points kind of made sense. She was pointing out that her team sucks, so no reason to go after her. I think that was, to me, the best point she had.
Number one.
Our team sucks, don't know reason to go after me. Also, that she's never been to a final. So you don't know how she's going to react. So you might want to take out some people who have been to a final. And then for her, other people haven't been into elimination yet. So maybe we should go after them. I think that was probably the weakest of the points. And I think that obviously her team being the worst was the best. But what did you make of her 3-point approach that she then brings up kind of word for word almost in the deliberation?
Yeah, I mean, it was perfect. And I completely agree, at least with the first two. Like, her team is a mess. They're a mess. They can't even dress alike. Like, why are you even aiming for them when clearly, as the Emerald team, your biggest competition is right there, you know, at Sapphire team. So you need to be weakening them. Also, half of y'all were already saying how you've been wanting to target Ashley since last week. So, I agreed with Priscilla, and then again saying I haven't ran in a final. I don't know what's going to happen. Mm-hmm. Take out people who have, again, makes sense. So, but the problem was, unfortunately for Priscilla, and again, what happens with the challenge, and you know, for the Big Brother fans out there, it happens for a Big Brother too. When you don't know the twist and you don't know the format, you play it safe. You know, and that's what they said that they did. That's what the Emerald team said that they did. They voted in Priscilla because they didn't know how the other opponent was going to be picked. They didn't know what the format was going to be. So they played it safe. And that's what really annoys me.
Yep. And I, you know, it's both on the ends of the spectrum. Like, I get it. Like, I totally think that's the right move for the team to do. If you don't know the rules, that's why I've always been frustrated with people in like the first week making some sort of big move when you really don't know what the structure of the game is. I think it absolutely makes sense to wait. And then it's also frustrating from the fans' perspective, because, like, you know, you want them to act like how they want to act, not how they're not sure how to act. So I'm honestly not even sure if they knew the winner, like whoever they voted in would pick their opponent. I'm honestly not even sure how much it would change what they would do. Because I kind of thought, I thought the vote was going to go to Emmy, honestly, but I thought Devin's point in like their team deliberation was actually very spot on, that Emmy is very good in like a in a paired format where she can like listen to someone, kind of like the opposite of Corey, right? Where she had someone, the structured person, to tell her what to do, she'd be great. But in like a team format where things are going bad, she might cause a little more chaos. So you kind of want to keep her there. So I think that was actually the very smart move to do. So I'm not even 100% sure anything would change, even if they knew Priscilla would be able to pick her opponent. I think they probably would have voted her in anyway.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah, especially because I bet they would have thought she might go after Ashley anyway. And I think all things considered, they'd probably be fine with that. So I think kind of played out how it would have almost no matter what.
Yeah, and I think going after Ashley was very smart for Priscilla, because Ashley is notoriously not good in eliminations.
Yeah.
You know, except for one. One that I very much remember, which clearly Nani remembers as well, because the next third of this episode is just Nani talking about how they need to get rid of Ashley.
Yeah. Nani's been like, you know, she's got her eyes set on like the people who've won before, and good for her. Like, she wants to win so badly that she's like, Amber just beat me, let's get her out. Ashley's won twice, let's get her out. And a lot of people are, you know, they get distracted by other things, and Nani's like, no, let's stay focused on the people who have won before, and let's get that to come out. And she was absolutely right to try to get out Ashley. I love Ashley in the nomination ceremony type thing, really talking down her performance, right? Like, this was a classic answer. Yeah. Like, oh, I'm not that good. My partners have been great. That's why I won. I'm not that much better than anyone. And then cut the next week being like, I'm Millionaire Mitchell, I won twice.
Yeah.
Which is great. I mean, that's why she's the best. But I love that gameplay by her.
I was like, this doesn't make sense. Nobody believes you. We all know you're still good. And I'm you know, I'm not the biggest fan of Ashley personally. I think she is hilarious on Twitter, but I just, you know, I've not been a fan of her since her Real World days. The funny thing to me though, and what I liked about you guys talking last week, was the one thing that I loved Ashley for was taking the money from Hunter. Yeah. Like, that was one of the main things. I was like, yes, get him. Like, I watched that whole season, like, oh, like the way he talked to her was so annoying. So that was one of the things that I actually really liked. And I think, again, with her, with CT, with that stretch with Johnny Bananas, you got to take those people out early, you know, get them out as early as possible, or get them down in the pit or the lair or whatever they call it, as early as possible, so you have as many chances as you can to get them out. And they've shown that they're not always that great at the elimination, and like you said, it's any given Sunday once you're down there. So I thought Priscilla's choice here was really good, because she's not going to pick Bettina, her friend, who could be a gimme, you know, just based off the fact that they're two rookies. And she's not going to pick Emmy because she's on her team, you know. So, you know, if I'm looking at Ashley or Amanda or that's it. If you're just looking at Ashley and Amanda, I definitely think I would go for Ashley.
Yeah. Especially, you know, I don't know if like the guilt card came into it, but I think if you're choosing between people, and you have Amanda coming on here, like, really, like, you know, opening up her soul, being like, I'm doing this for my son, I was a you know, frontline worker, I think it's like, all right, if you're choosing between the two, it's like, all right, let's give Amanda a pass here, let's maybe bring her, like, not bring her along, but let's cut her a little slack here, cut her a break, and maybe go after her down the road and give her more of a chance. And I that's where I think sometimes the human emotion does come into play. Like, how could it not? You have Amanda, like, clearly bearing her soul and being like so vulnerable even at this nomination ceremony, and it's like, all right, you know what, let's cut her a break.
Yeah, exactly. And like you said, at this point, it didn't seem like it was going to go any other way but here. Yeah.
Yeah. So Priscilla voted in. We jump straight to the elimination. So this is where we find out the next phase of the rules. It seemed like this was the only option at this point. I couldn't imagine them being an open vote at the elimination. That would have been too weird. I don't think they would have given the agency double power to vote people in. So I was very much expecting this other twist, I guess you could call it, of Priscilla, the person voted in this case, Priscilla, being able to choose who they want to go up against. And I think we discussed this, but do you like this as the new format?
Yeah, I do. Because I was, we were speculating when, you know, everything had shook out and we knew that Emerald was the, me and my husband, when Emerald was the agency, I was like, it doesn't make sense because, like, if I'm Ruby team and I'm Sapphire team, all you got to do is just try and, you know, if you're voting, quote unquote, then you just pick one person on the opposite team and then you got, you know, six votes each. Like, it didn't make any sense as to how you were going to get to the other person. So once they got down there, Priscilla was the compromised agent and they told her she got to pick. I mean, there, once you really sit there and think about it, there's no other way that could have went.
Yep. So she calls out Ashley. Everyone oohs and ahs and reacts. Oh, man, calling out the two-time champ. Everyone freaks out. Very cool moment to see people supporting it like that. And then you get Nani. Again, very to the point. Like, oh, no, I'm openly rooting for Priscilla. I guess she said DL rooting for Priscilla, but I mean, it was probably pretty open.
Yeah, she said low-key.
Yeah, low-key. Mm-hmm. But obviously, it was high-key, I think, at that point. That she'd be rooting for Priscilla. And it was kind of surprising. That was one of the more surprising moments of the whole episode, honestly, when during the elimination, it was called, what was it called? Seek and Destroy. You had to dig out 8 tires and then put them in a sequential order based off the colors that the tires were. And there's like flashing lights you had to follow. But during the challenge, everyone was rooting for Ashley, not even just like her team, but like everyone was, for the most part, rooting for her, which was kind of sweet, especially everything that Ashley's gone through. I like Priscilla, but it was kind of sweet to see everyone rooting for Ashley here.
So
not sweet. No,
I'm like, good for her, sure, I don't care, but I did think, like, the confessionals, I think you guys may have been saying this, but like the confessionals kind of gave it away real early. I was like, like the first few confessionals we got was, oh, Priscilla can do this, I think Priscilla's gonna do this, oh, Priscilla's gonna do this. I was like, oh no, you know. Yeah. And then as it's going along, we get a confessional of Priscilla saying, like, you know, I'm not going to give up. I'd rather lose up against a champion and never give up. And like in that confessional, she's like crying, like holding back tears before it's the end. And I was like, oh, great. You know, but I do have to commend Ashley here for a great strategy and getting those tires, like using her whole body. You know, Tori explained it in the in her confessional, but Ashley used her whole body to kind of basically just shove the top sand, kind of slide it off, you know, so it's less sand to have to worry about. Then she dug her hands kind of like directly into the hole, trying to find the tire hole, so that when she pulled out the tire, she wasn't pulling up tire and sand. You know what I'm saying? Like she was pulling out the tire while the sand that was collected in the middle was kind of falling. So it made it less heavy. So she completely turned what should have been like a brawny, like muscly physical challenge into a mental. She really mentally beasted through that first part. And then once you get through that first part, it's literally just a memorization game with the lights. Mm-hmm. And then with everybody helping her, the funniest thing to me, and the only thing that I liked about that scene, was just the cuts of Nani being like, oh, great. Yeah. Everybody's rooting for Ashley, but do they not realize, like, unless she's on your team, her being here does not benefit. And then they would show like her on the dais or whatever, and Nani is like half-heartedly like repeating the
colors. Yep. No, it was very impressive, Ash. I think outside of her two finals, this is probably her most like impressive individual like physical performance. Because I, like you said, like they really did not give, in even in the confessionals, like any hint that she might lose. And I think it was that big of a blow. Like, I think they were showing the tires at the end, but I think that was just Priscilla still collecting the tires. Like, I don't think she was starting to order them at that point. So it was, I mean, she only had like, I think, 5 by the time Ashley was done. So she still has 3 more tires to go, and then ordering them correctly. So this was just a complete blowout. And like you said, I think kind of Ashley's veteran-ness kind of mm-hmm. came through about, you know, not that she's done this specific thing before, but I think when you're in the mix of doing so many of these, you just know how to go about doing these types of challenges and eliminations and stuff. And I think that'll come for Priscilla. I think, you know, I don't know, maybe I think she kind of got caught in her head thinking, oh, I need to save my arms to move the tires around. That's why she was using mm-hmm. her feet more to kind of dig it out. I think she kind of got kind of caught in her own head trying to overthink how to do this. But yeah, I mean, this was just very super, super impressive for Ashley. And it just, yeah. you know, it just wasn't even close.
Yeah. And that's where that veteran sense comes in, because you learn to think like, hey, maybe I should be thinking out of the box here. You know what yep. I'm saying? Like when you're presented with a challenge and you're a rookie, you might just go in there thinking what the, you know, just again, trying to beast through it. Like that's basically what Priscilla is trying to do. She's trying to just brawn and beast through it, like thinking it'll just take a while to undig all these tires, when if you work harder, I mean, work smarter, not harder, yep. like we got from Devin earlier, it just, you know, it makes it so much easier and it gives it the blowout. And I'm just, again, really wondering if, because they focus so much on Nani and Ashley, and like, are we going to get that down the road? Mm-hmm. And I am so shocked that they did not show that final elimination that they did against each other. I forget what season it was, but the one where it was basically running.
That sounds familiar.
Yeah. And we didn't see it. I can't remember if it was the Vendetta season or something like that, but like, I just remember where it was Ashley and Nani. It was the elimination right before the final, and they were taken to like a remote area. Everybody else was told to go back to the house.
Yep.
And TJ basically said, well, run from here. Yep. And Ashley came back into the house. And then we had Nani like just crying, talking about, why does this always happen to me? Yep. Right before the final. And that was a few seasons ago. So I was like, I'm all for like vengeful Nani. Nani is like, mm-hmm. has her Kill Bill list. She's like, Amber beat me last year. Gotta yep. go. Ashley beat me a few years ago. Gotta go. I can't wait to see who else is going to be on
yeah.
that
list. And you know, maybe if they end up squaring off, maybe they're saving that clip for when they actually do fight, go against yep. each other in elimination. Cause I think that would be a lot of fun to see. Yeah. I think the fact that they were so open, like a couple of scenes, not just one scene, a couple of scenes about Nani being like, we have to get Ashley out. Mm-hmm. That feels like something that's going to come back around again. Maybe it comes back to Amanda going to be tossed in, and does Ashley step in front of that bullet and then go up against Nani or something like that down the road. They hit that a couple of things that we need to keep an eye out for going forward. And for Priscilla to keep an eye out for, we get one of the greatest exits that I've ever heard from TJ saying, mm-hmm. we will definitely see you again in the future. So
yeah,
that's a hell of an exit for Priscilla.
I'm so happy for her, because yeah, TJ likes that. You know, he mm-hmm. loves when people shake things up, you know? So
oh, absolutely.
And Priscilla did. She made a bigger impact than some of the other rookies. Like I think Esther, I feel bad for Esther, because if Fessy doesn't leave, I think Esther makes it way further mm-hmm. than where she was, because of course people didn't want to throw her and Fessy down
yep.
in there. We think of Tasha. She wasn't, I don't remember her leaving. Again, Michelle, I thought Michelle was going to do enough to come back, but I don't even know if she did enough to come back. So
right.
good on Priscilla for, you know, making an impact. And that type of sign off from TJ is only bodes well for the future. So yeah.
I think Michelle's biggest impact so far has been like after the show. I think that she's made a good impact to staying involved in the drama after the show to keep herself in the mix for going
there
forward.
You go.
Yeah. But yeah, so good exit for Priscilla. And then I wasn't sure if we were going to keep up the kind of swapping twist going forward, but Ashley does have the option to stay with the current team or to infiltrate one of the other teams. I love that she's immediately like, well, definitely not Ruby. They suck. So we're not going there. And then it was a debate whether she wants to stick with her team or go to Emeralds, even though they're the agency. So we didn't see it play out. And I don't know, maybe it was clear and I just didn't pick up on it. Let's say if you do infiltrate, do you pick someone to trade with, or are the teams like, would the Emerald just have an extra person now?
No, it didn't play out, and it's not clear. But my guess would be is you're definitely pick somebody to trade with, because we do get that confessional from Tori saying, like, you know, I don't trust Ashley. You know, she snaked me in the past. Mm-hmm. So don't take my spot off this team. So it definitely seemed like it would have to be a trade of some sort.
Yeah, that I wasn't sure. And I agree. That confessional made me think it was you would have to pick someone. And I'm looking forward, because I'm sure that's probably going to play out pretty quickly. I could see Kyle even like wanting to, you know, push himself to go away next week or something like that, just so he can get off that team. I think that'll happen pretty quick. And I'm excited to see how that process plays out, who you pick. And then obviously that's going to lead to that person and like probably having a strong distaste for you. So I think more so than like the swapping of the pairs, I think swapping the teams, I think adds like another fun layer to this like new season, basically. So I think I almost just wish this was the format. Could we just restart go back to episode one and just have three teams and just make this the format? Because I think this would add some pretty cool layers to it. But at least we're doing it here. So I think this is a fun spot.
Yeah, I do like that. I like that even the agency isn't exempt.
Yep. They're safe. That. You know, that's their big plus, but they can still get their spot taken, which I think is a good situation.
Yeah. And I we haven't talked about this, but I wonder what kind of wrinkle that adds to who do you throw in, who mm-hmm. gets pulled down, then who to what team do you go to?
Yeah.
You know, do you try to not put anybody from Team Ruby down in there so that they stay a dysfunctional team that doesn't win, right? You know?
Yeah, especially because if you put in someone from Ruby and they win and they swap, then you have to go to Ruby. And if you just vote in either Emerald or Sapphire, and if they happen to go to Sapphire or Emerald back and forth, like at least you're still on a pretty good, at least for now, depending upon who gets eliminated, pretty good team. So I think that I wonder if we're going to see that going forward, not wanting to vote anyone in for Ruby because they're just so dysfunctional. Let's just keep them like that.
Yeah, and I thought I liked, you know, Allie correctly points out how Kyle's diary rooms or whatever or confessionals are always so over the top and rehearsed and goofy, but they work in a sort of way.
Yep.
And I thought it was hilarious how he when he's like, oh, I know what my next move is gonna be, and then like the lighting guys changed it from like Ruby to Emerald.
Yep, that was very funny. And someone pointed out a question, I don't think I pulled it, but I think he wore he wore the same color as Corey at the elimination after not wearing the same color during the nomination, and Corey was so pissed. So I don't know if he was like, that was like a troll that he just wore the same color as Corey during the elimination, but I thought that was, I would have to point it out. I don't know if that's true. That'd be a weird thing to make up for it by someone, but I think someone, he apparently did that. And that's, Kyle's very funny. He knows how to play to the camera sometimes. So he does that very well.
And you have to tell me, they had to have like passed out those clothes. There's no way everybody had like basically kind of like matching shades.
I think so. I would think so. I would imagine they had their Emerald, Ruby, and Sapphire clothes ready to go to deploy to everyone.
Right. Yes. So, I'm so intrigued, but just real quick speculation, mm-hmm. say Kyle does go down, we don't know who he goes against, whatever, and he definitely wants to go to Team Emerald, mm-hmm. whose spot do you think he takes?
That's a good question. So then assuming none of these three are going in against him, he would choose between Josh, Devin, and Emmanuel. Mm-hmm. I would guess he would take Josh's spot, right? Because I think he would want to be with Devin, thinking that Devin's like the brains of the operation. So if you take Devin off that team, that might not even be as good. I think mm-hmm. Emmanuel is probably the strongest of those guys, of those teams. So I think you would go after Josh's spot, right? I feel like that's the move.
Oh, wow. Yeah. Oh, no.
So that could be interesting.
That would be so drama.
Yeah. And if you think for Kyle, like if he's like, he's normally one to like do whatever he can to stay out of elimination, which obviously is a smart move. But if he's, you know, looking at someone like Logan, who's really busted up, I think he could be thinking like, oh, this is like an easy target here. Let me get myself voted in. I call out Logan and I can get myself off this crappy team and in a much better spot in the game. So I could see him having that layer of thinking, and then will it play out like that? I don't know. But if Logan really is a sitting duck, I could see someone wanting to, you know, maybe take that shot to get off a team or get out of a situation that they don't like.
And you make a very good point there, because Team Ruby could then just start cannibalizing themselves.
They'd be down to they'd be down to two people.
Kyle could take out Logan, and then if Big T Emmy get voted in, then Emmy's friends with most of the other girls.
Yeah.
You know? So Emmy and Big T go up against each other, then Ruby's gonna have like two people.
Yeah. And the challenge is weird. It's not like with Survivor where they have people sit out to even things out. Usually they're mm-hmm. just like, if you're down in numbers, you're just down in numbers and you're doing these challenges, you know, a person or two. So if you lose a couple of people, you're down doing these challenges 6-4 and your four is not even that strong to begin with. Usually that's like it's a never ending prophecy where you're just going to keep losing people. So that'll be curious to see if Ruby is just like wiped out in the next like 3 or 4 weeks.
But then you think about it though. Even if Ruby starts eating themselves, they will. One of them has to win, so one of them will probably go to Emerald or Sapphire. Right. So we will probably get some mixes. Yeah. This is okay. This is interesting. Yeah, it'll be fun. I'm coming on board here, Brian.
Here we go. Come to the optimism side.
Yeah,
fun over here. Yeah, we got like 8 more weeks of this, so we gotta be optimistic about where it's gonna go. So, I'm feeling good. I'm feeling good. So, any other thoughts on this episode or this season before we get to our host of games and stuff that I have to get to all by myself without Allie here?
Oh, sorry. I wish I could help. No, I'm good. It was fun. That was a really good episode, and I'm glad that you could talk me into not being the pessimist that I am.
Fantastic. All right, we'll start from the Jerky game to Kyle Picard, sent it over. We had 26 this week. The rundown being 3 shots of people eating, 3 mentions of the Veteran Alliance, 2 shots of Kyle's teeth, which I definitely noticed that was every confessional of him laughing and smiling. Very funny. TJ wanting someone back, of course. Priscilla definitely coming back. 3 slow motion shots. 1 spy music, Amanda talking about her kids, 1 Mitch watch for Ed with him telling Patina that she whooped ass during the deliberation.
Oh God, I forgot about that.
8 shots of people's headbands and 3 shots of Corey and Nelson on camera together. So very busy.
8 shots of people's headbands.
Yeah, I don't know. That's an Allie one. Take it up with her.
Wow.
Yeah. And very interesting. All right, so do you have anything to add to our fun-filled game?
Oh my gosh, I was so intent on taking notes, I didn't even think of a. Oh, okay, all right. Okay. I think I might have to just go with an oldie but a goodie because we saw it like 3 times in this episode. But when anybody mentions what they use what they're going to use the money for,
that's a good one. Uh-huh. Classic one needs classic. To be added. I'm gonna add, anytime someone refers to their team as like the normal color, not emerald, sapphire, or ruby, but like red, green, yellow, or whatever their colors are, if they refer to it as the non-colored team, like whatever the color actually is, I'll add that to the list. So
did somebody do that?
I think so. They were like talking about like, I got my blue shirt ready, or I got my green shirt ready. So I think it's going to slip because I know I would slip. I forgot I'm calling something sapphire or ruby. I'll add that. From the DDs, the not much to add for this week. Very little fluctuation in the scoring. The only things were Ashley losing a point for winning her elimination, Priscilla gaining a point for losing her elimination, and Scally had Ashley, Matt Ligori had Priscilla, so those points basically count against each other since they're on the same team, so no change in the total scoring. Allie and I still in the lead with 29 points, Matt and Scally with 25.5 points. And then there was a discussion because there's points in our scoring system for if you get your partner stolen or if you leave your partner, the fact now that it's moved to teams, we have decided now to just scrap that. Because otherwise the entire team would be gaining a point or losing a point. We're like, that's too complicated. That wasn't the genesis of the rule. So unless they come back in the team, in the pairs later on in the season, which I wouldn't rule out coming down the road. But until that happens, there'll be no points for those, which I think is probably the right call.
I agree. The challenge constantly busting the all draft.
Yes, they're messing things up all the time. Classic MTV. All right. Next up, we had our a goal last week. I think we had 991 ratings. We wanted to get to 1,000. We smashed through that. So we are now up to 1,014.
Oh, wow.
The way I see it. So bunch of people to thank. Let me go through the list. I pulled it up here. Going back to Friday. All right. So let's thank Jani Utah, C Pram D H U. I have to like make sure I'm nothing, not reading anything bad here. Cassidy and her son Otto, Yasmin, Shallow Gal, Amber Dash Ryan, M Motes, New Believer, Mokel, KTK. I'm not even reading this. It was like FGDI, a lot of random letters, but thank you to that person. Alex 446, Chris K32, M Chamberberger. Thank you so much. We're up to 1,014 ratings on iTunes, and you can leave your rating at robswebsite.com/challenge iTunes. Thank you to everyone who did those.
Yeah,
ripping through these is so much. It's when you have to, when I do these all on my own, you really realize how many freaking things we have on this, this show. Yeah, we still have, we'll get to the All Stars cast too at the end of this. But I just want to wrap these up, and then if people want to drop out, they can drop out, and we can go through the All Stars 2 cast. So some social media for Megan Elizabeth. Obviously, the big story of the weekend: Fessy and Amanda, no more. Did you catch that drama happening?
There was
a Challenge Mania event. Shout out to Scott Yeager hosting one of those this weekend. And apparently at the after party, there was a fan getting pretty friendly with Fessy at the bar. And it got tagged, posted all over social media. Amanda came to it, and they are no more. So Fessy is back to the streets where he belongs. Right.
I was about to say that man belongs to the streets. So I am not surprised. So,
not the best challenge year for Fessy getting kicked out, seemingly in a nice spot with Amanda. Now that's done. So not the best run on the challenge for Mr. Fessy. Some other stuff though from social media about this episode we got from Ashley. She wrote, one of the main reasons I respect Priscilla so much because her best friend is her mother and so is mine. So girls with a badass moms can take over the world. True that. Ashley also wrote, thanks to everyone. I could barely sleep last night thinking what did I do? How could I change me? Do I hate me? They messaged me saying they love me. I'm always me, but now you can say you hate me. Chin scratch emoji, crying emoji. That's why I don't read these. It's very difficult. Amanda wrote, oh, Ashley doesn't want to leave me. What is that? Like big puppy dog emoji, three of them. Team Sapphire for life. Let's go. Hashtag challenge 37. Amanda also wrote, thank you, Priscilla, for not choosing me. You seriously have an amazing heart, and I can't thank you enough. Also, the puppy dog emoji. That was Amanda's emoji choice of the night. Priscilla wrote, one thing about Emmy is that she's going to say everything she hates, then do exactly that. So there you go. And lastly, Priscilla wrote, fight, baby, fight. I'm not trying to prove myself. I'm trying to stay out of elimination. She didn't do enough, though, to stay out of the elimination. But she put up a good fight, nonetheless.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's everything. Did I get off all our stuff? Hope I did. If I forgot anything, Allie will let me know next week. But I think that's all our stuff. And then the other big story of the challenge world was All Stars 2 coming.
I'm so Thursday, excited.
November 11th on Paramount Plus. Did you happen to see the cast for season 2?
No, I was trying to like catch glimpses. I was like, is that MJ? Oh, is that Tina? Like, I wasn't sure.
So 24 people coming on this season. The defending champ, yes, not amongst the people. Mark Long, also not amongst the people. He's now just a producer, which I think is probably the right spot. I think let him be behind the scenes. But yeah, 24
he came
people.
In third, right?
I think he came in third. Yeah, third or fourth, or maybe he was tied, but yeah, he was in the top. He did well, but I think I think it's probably better off that he's up behind the scenes, or maybe even if TJ doesn't want to do both, maybe he can host All Stars. But until that happens,
that'd be cool.
Yeah. So the 24 people, I'll quickly read through it. And if any name pops up that you're super excited about, let me know. You got Anyana, Brad, Casey Cooper, Kahuta, Darrell is back, Derek Chavez, Derek K, Janelle, Jasmine, Jodi making an appearance, John A. Mm-hmm. Katie Doyle is back, which is surprising. Kendall, Atarian, Leia, Melinda, MJ.
Melinda, okay.
Yeah. MJ, Nehemiah, Ryan, Allie's favorite, and then Sophia Paskey. I don't really remember her. Steve Minky. Some of these are even before my time. Tech is back. Tina and Tyler Duckworth is the 24 people making an appearance. Anyone there? I know I read through it quickly, but people can go seek them out. They want to see the full list. Anyone there that was like, oh, that's fun.
Yeah, Tina. I was a fan of Tina. I watched all of her seasons, her road rules and all that. MJ, that'll be interesting. Haven't seen him in a long time. There's some names. You said Janelle. Which Janelle is that?
Janelle Casanave? 2 seasons. I don't really remember her either.
Okay. Yeah. Well, did they say what her original?
Yeah, not Big Brother Janelle. On this, I'm trying to find the one. This EW Link doesn't have their original season, unfortunately.
Oh,
bad
boo.
Job by them. Yeah,
right. Yeah.
No, I like that Tyler Duckworth is on. That's pretty cool.
What season is he from?
He was Banana's rival, the first Rivals season. He was also, I think he was on Cutthroat and won that season as well. He was the other opponent in the CT Banana's backpack elimination. He did not get backpack in that one.
He did not.
He's like the forgotten person that he also went up against CT that night and did not become a meme forever.
Oh, okay. I just looked him up. I do like Tyler.
Yeah. He's very fun to have him back. And Ryan, Allie is super hyped, super excited. Oh my God, I can't speak. It's late. To have Ryan Kehoe on.
Ryan Kehoe. That sounds familiar too.
Yeah, he's definitely in like the old school mix. I don't think he's probably has been on since like, I don't know, Rivals or something, even before that. I don't know. Maybe he didn't even make it to Rivals. But very cool to have him back. Amazing that they're, I guess it's not really surprising that they're overlapping. So this is what MTV does. But having it air in a month was on November 11th. So I would imagine, I mean, the challenge is probably not going to wrap this season. Is probably not going to wrap until at least like mid-December. So we're going to have a few weeks of overlap. I don't know why, again, they wouldn't just wait till the season ends and put it on Paramount Plus. But, you know, that's what they do. So double challenge season coming out sooner than we thought, but All-Stars 2.
Yeah, and I love All-Stars and All-Stars 2 because it just feels, it does feel kind of like old school challenge in a sense, yep. Like the stuff that they're doing will not cause their deaths regularly,
right.
But then because they're older, it kind of will. So it's just so funny because also I'm like, I relate to these older people more. So I'm just like, I don't know. I just love, it just feels so much more low key.
Yep.
There's still enough drama to keep you going, but it doesn't feel childish. You know, it doesn't feel targeted. I really like the original All-Stars and I'm so excited that they're continuing with this concept. And I really would love to see it to be a mainstay. Yeah. Honestly, I love catching up with everybody. It's awesome.
Yeah, I think it'll be interesting to see the people who are coming back for a second time around that hadn't been there in a while. If like they get more cutthroat now that they've kind of done one out of their system and they're kind of back in the mix, if it impacts it, I think that'll be interesting. And I really hope, again, this is the big thing that we talked about during that season, that I really hope it's not just like a one winner take all. At the very least, let there be one man, one woman winner. Even more so, let other people get prize money than not just the one winner. So I really, really, really hope they make that change. But other than that, like you said, it was a super fun show and it's glad it's back. And the fact that it has a season 2 makes me think I'm pretty optimistic that it's going to have seasons 3, 4, and 5 right behind it. The fact that it got renewed once, I feel like that makes it likely it'll keep going for a little bit longer.
Yeah.
So there you go. Paramount Plus going to get a little boost in subscribers come November. So look out.
Yeah, exactly. And that was what I was just about to say. As like a streaming network exclusive to get like renewed, that's really good.
Yeah.
And I don't know if you saw this, Brian, too, but you see that the Homecoming, Real World Homecoming is happening again now.
I did see that.
Los Angeles cast.
Yeah, the LA. That's season 2, right?
Gosh. That's
Yeah, so that's big stuff in the MTV world.
Yeah,
a lot of stuff
they're doing good. Like I know I probably came on here before and complained. Like I do not understand how MTV is running 23 hours of ridiculousness and not running like its old school Real World seasons.
I would love to know is it more expensive to run old challenge seasons to like pay people, or is it like a music issue? Like does it cause more? I don't know, because it doesn't make any sense that. Especially with like these like All Stars 2 is coming up, maybe run like an old season of the challenge or a couple old seasons of the challenge that with these people on it to get people excited to watch these people again. And like you, like me and you that might have forgotten who these people even are. It's like, oh, let's put on, you know, Gauntlet 2 or something and let people remember who some of these people are. So I don't know, but that's what they do. It's like the ridiculousness.
Rob Dyrdek has pictures on somebody.
Yeah, he must. but yeah, that's so big week for MTV. A lot of stuff going on. Another good episode, I thought. Any final thoughts? Any winner predictions? Any final predictions? Anything you have?
Oh, man. Oh, okay. Let's see. I feel like this might be Devin's year. I think he's getting a lot of good content. I think the monkey, though, off his back is getting CTE out. I'm sorry. Yep. Like, I know I've been harping on him, but that man is just so, he's good at everything. You know, you got to get him out. There's no kind of fessy to counter him, like in the eliminations, like you guys pointed out. So they need to do something, but I can see a Devin win. Mm-hmm. I would love for, I always root for Josh with his messy, messy self. I do. Of course, the Nani and Casey love affair is just like crazy.
Yeah.
Crazy.
If Nani wins after Leroy retires, that would be something else. She'd be able to pull it out.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. So, but I'm just looking forward to some new blood winning. And again, like I said, I'm probably rooting for like Amanda.
Yeah.
Or whatnot, because unfortunately at this point, I don't think Corey makes it past next week, if anything.
Yeah.
Big T, they're already plotting her downfall.
Yeah.
I'm not a fan of Emmy. So like, I think that the winner is definitely coming from either Emerald or Sapphire, depending on how this all shakes out.
Yeah, I agree. And now I was kind of wondering internally, like, how are they going to stretch it out for losing two people a week? And now we're switching to one person a week. So I think, this is why this is able to go 18 episodes. So I think, you know, it's setting up for like 10 people, 12 people making a final or something like that down the stretch. So I think a lot of different people shooting up people's winners list. I think Amanda, like you said, people want to see wins, so it'll be interesting. So interesting ride.
If it's 12 people going to the finale, then are we getting like teams of four, maybe kind of like what was that, the second War of the Worlds?
I think at this point I think it's almost a guarantee that there's gonna be some level of pairing or team in the final. Maybe it eliminates people down the way and like the final stretch is individual, but I don't see any way that the entire final is individual. I think you're gonna have too many people in the mix to do something like that. So whether or not these teams are gonna stick together, or maybe they'll have another challenge before the final where you pick your partner for the final or something like that. I think there's gonna be something where there's another shuffling of the people you're working with, and that's who you're gonna be running the final with. At this point I just can't see how they're gonna eliminate that many people to get down to a final in, you know, 6-7 weeks or whatever it might be. So yeah, I think pick your team. I think there's another shuffling happening probably right before the final, and that's who you're gonna be with. And maybe there'll be shuffling happening during the final, kind of like there could have been last season. So I think there'll be stuff like that.
Yeah, and again, I just hate when they don't tell them if it's an individual final, at least at the beginning, like, you know, because Anissa kept getting bit by that whole like, oh, but what if she's on your team thing, you know? So, yeah, we'll figure it out. But I'm so excited. Thank you so much for having me on, Brian.
Yes, thank you
talking
for joining me
off the cliff.
Yes, come to the light side. The light side is beautiful. Enjoy the optimism. Yeah. All right, so where can people follow you? What are you up to that people catch you on? Obviously, we talked about the WWE stuff, but what else? Where else can people catch you?
So, I mean, of course, I have to play every week, Wrestling Rehab Up, me and Matt Scott talking all things wrestling. Come and hang out with us. We have great guests from Rehab, and you don't need to watch wrestling to listen to us. I was doing Big Brother coverage. That's done. So I'm kind of just like chilling, you know, taking a podcast break. There will be some things coming down the pipeline a little later. So just follow me on Twitter at Mari Talks Too Much. That's two, like the number two. And I'll post everything that I'm doing there. So catch up with me there on Twitter.
Fantastic. You can catch me, of course, on Twitter, Cohen with a C, Brian with an underscore. Subscribe, robswebsite.com/challengeiTunes. We'll be back next week for episode 11 and in a month for Challenge All Stars 2. Until then, have a good one.
Bye.